This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversation podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I'm really excited to be here today for our next Faith Conversation with my podcast guest, Noreen Westfall. I met Noreen in a parking lot. I'm not even kidding you. I was walking to my car. She was talking to a friend of mine, and I, you know, introduced myself. We just started chatting in the parking lot, and I could immediately tell that she was a person who definitely has experienced God in her life. It took probably 20, 30 seconds for me just to be able to see, oh, this is a woman of faith. This is a woman who probably has a lot that she could say about faith. I don't even know if I asked very many questions when we were chatting, but she was very open to share things quickly in this parking lot conversation. And within probably 2 minutes, I said, do you want to be a podcast guest? So that's how we ended up here today with Noreen. I'm so excited to talk to her. Thank you, Noreen, for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I know that you, I really honestly don't know anything about your life other than maybe like one tidbit. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know you better today. But I am also just curious how all of this started, because I can observe within you this depth of faith. And even in our conversation and prayer time before we got onto the podcast today, I can just sense it in you. And so I'm so curious to know, how did that start? And then I'll ask you more questions about where you've gone since then.
Okay, that's interesting, because I kept on thinking leading up to this, I wonder why she even asked me. We don't even know each other.
I can feel it.
Yeah. So actually, I have a band that I really like called The Black Crows, and they have a song with the lyric, "She wears a cross around her neck, and the cross is someone she has not met, not yet." And it was November 19, 1983. It was dark. It was in the evening, and I was at the edge of the water with my legs hanging over the bulkhead / dock. And that evening I was praying, and a girl to the right of me was sobbing, and she was praying to God too. And I could still hear her crying out, like in my mind's ear, I can hear it as clear as day. And essentially it was like the third night of a Young Life retreat in Harvey Cedars, New Jersey. And each night there was like a gospel message that was delivered. And this particular night, after, you know, lots of fun and listening, we were all supposed to have our space to, like, apart from each other, to talk to God. And if somebody didn't want to talk to God, of course they didn't have to, but they had to allow each person, like, for a period of time, that time, if they wanted to. So my conversation was like, God, I believe all I'm hearing, it's not different than what I already believe, except that my personal relationship part, and for that, I'm game. I have no objections to you, who died for me to be the leader of my life. And I took notes of the sobs that were happening to the right of me, and I wondered if I should be broken, and why wasn't I? And it was because of comments like, she's going to be a nun. She is so good. I have given that identity, like when I was growing up, that I was good.
Really?
And so I believed it. And so even in my conversation with God, I didn't really see necessarily my sin. And so the key to the gospel message is we're all sinners. And the key to our daily prayer life is, you know, you need to be daily repentant. And in order to do that, it's like a consistent struggle, but you can't make that U-turn to be repentant unless you can actually identify what sin is in your life. And, in John, 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And honestly, I thought I was pretty good, and I was this good person who was just willing to follow Jesus. So that November 19th, it's kind of ironic. I was by the water, and I was like kind of literally caught by like a fish by God. But it was just through the willingness to know him better. And the following of my lifetimes is basically where I feel like God is cleaning me up and preparing me for whatever he has for me. So I would say I immediately felt a presence and confirmation of the decision, something, you know, which now I know is like the Holy Spirit, but it was a nice peace. However, like unlike Paul, who immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again, and then he went and got baptized. Well, for me, I started to see what was false and not scriptural over many, many years. Like it took a while. So I was rebaptized in 1991, and that was a hard decision for me. So over these years, it was hard for me to separate my culture from my religion. So I didn't even realize that how much I identified with being Catholic and what was my belief and what was just being part of my family and the people I knew. But I got baptized because of Jesus' example and because it was an outward expression of my faith and dedication to Jesus. So it had been a slow progress for me. God's so patient as I look at it. Over the years, my mind has been renewed. It needs to be renewed more and more. I started to see the difference in doctrine in the Catholic Church where I worshiped and attended Catholic school. And the change basically wasn't overnight. Knowledge was not overnight. And that's why when I hear some people's salvation stories, you know, it's like, what were they like before Jesus? And maybe they were a mess before Jesus. And now they pray this prayer and now everything's great. But for me, it's like after Jesus is how I see myself more and more a sinner. I am more and more a mess compared to the false belief that I was good before I surrendered my life to God.
Wow. Okay. I have lots of questions. Okay. First of all, I think I'm going to say back to you what I heard. So I heard that you grew up in a Catholic, attending a Catholic church and a Catholic private school. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that you were also involved with Young Life. Was Young Life part of your school? I mean, was Young Life engaged with your school? Was it high school, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so I originally grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And I went to one of the public schools just for kindergarten. And then after that, just because of the I think it was a combination of like the violence in the schools and stuff, the plan, but also our background that I would go to a Catholic school. And so that was like first grade on. And so I did like all of my, you know, baptism, communion, like all the sacraments up into that point. But then we moved 30 minutes outside of Brooklyn to a town in New Jersey. And because they had a great system, like a school system, we ended up going, transferred into like a public school. And in that setting was very different. Like in New York, you pretty much, everybody's like kind of relocates if they come from overseas or whatever into communities that are very similar. So everybody I knew was like Catholic, was either Italian or Irish Catholic. Right. And then when I went to New Jersey, the town had a lot of Jewish people, Protestants, like just a mixture, but the school system was really good. And there were two Catholic churches. And so we would attend that. And then therefore, prior to confirmation, I needed to go to CCD. So I continued my religious education through CCD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Young Life was part of your public school experience.
Public school experience. They were there. Okay. And there were some senior classmen that invited me to Young Life, which it was like always on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. And then they have like maybe once a year a retreat. And so because I had been attending
you ended up weekly, at that retreat.
I ended up going to that retreat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So I know there's a lot of life after this.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious. It sounds like you had a bit of a journey because you mentioned clearly this 1983 by the water encounter, even though you didn't feel like you had this, I don't know, in comparatively speaking to other Christian experiences, maybe you just kind of referenced, I didn't have a big salvation experience or something the way that maybe some people do. You also compared it to Paul of the Bible, the scales falling off of his eyes and those kinds of things. And I appreciate that you mentioned that, because it is important for us to understand that everybody has a different type of journey, and it doesn't make one right and one wrong. And we see it all throughout the Bible. People's journeys are very different. Mm-hmm. And also on this podcast, if you listen to episode after episode, you'll hear that people's journeys look very different, but it's the same God. Mm-hmm. And he's doing the same type of work in people's lives, even though the way it happens can be very unique and distinct. Stan, so when you were baptized in 1991, uh-huh. that was a public profession of your faith. That was a personal choice, a personal yes. decision. Okay, yeah. I understand. All right, so let's talk about since then, because 1991 was a while ago, mm-hmm. and that means you've lived a lot of life where it was not just a trend or a phase as mm-hmm. a teenager. It was actually real, and it has been a part of your life ever since. And I'm curious, before we get into the details of your life, just big picture, what have you learned about God? What is it that sticks out about God to you now that you've lived this life with him all of these years?
You know, in recent years, the Bible study that I do, and there's an app that I follow for reading the Bible in a year, it's taught me to look for the God shot in the attributes of God. And what you look at impacts your view on things. Tim Keller said, if God was small enough to be understood, he wouldn't be big enough to be worshiped.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And I, you know, I feel, you talk about the time, and sometimes I just think I should be so much further along in this, but I have wasted time keeping God in a small box. And it's exciting to meditate on like how self-existent and sufficient God is within himself, you know, not looking at him from like all about me and looking and keeping him small, how he's immutable and incomprehensible, and how I find most comfort in looking at the complex things that I don't have the answers to, in knowing that he is omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent. So like, I love the omnis, you know, because therefore he's like my all in all. He's all knowing, all powerful, all present, and everywhere. And these are the characteristics that humans can never be, yet we can be in relationship with the one who knows all things. And I think that's what really drives my safety, my trust, my comfort, is when I focus more on God versus focusing on things from my perspective.
Yeah. I 100% agree that I'm so thankful and honestly joyful and excited about the fact that I can't fully understand God. Mm-hmm. And I watch people really struggle with that. Mm. I mean, and I don't blame them for struggling with it. I can understand why someone would struggle with it. But at the same time, I just want them to be free from that struggle, because there's no way we will ever fully understand him. And there's no way that we could ever use our language, our human language, whether it be English or another language, to try to articulate everything about him. And for me, I'm just thankful that I don't worship a God that I can fully understand.
Yeah.
And so I love that quote from Tim Keller. That's a great reference. Let's try to put some words to complex experiences of your life. What? Let's go there. Let's give it a shot, because part of this whole podcast is about really pulling back the curtain on the things that are happening behind the scenes in the lives of Christians who are genuinely experiencing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit in their lives, mm-hmm. and in ways that are either, you know, remarkable to them or undeniable to others, or whatever the case may be. And not just in remarkable ways. Frankly, I kind of think any little thing that God does is remarkable, but not just in big flashy ways, I guess, is what I'm saying. But in ways, even just the idea of having an overwhelming peace, and to attempt to articulate these supernatural things that we experience in a very natural world. And so I'm thankful that you're willing to give that a shot here today and to tell us a little bit about your experiences. So I'd love to hear more. In what times, you know, is there anything you'd like to share with us about when you have experienced observing or experiencing the power and presence of God in your life? Is there anything about your story that you'd like to share with us more specifically?
Sure. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6 is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, he will make your path straight. And that's actually been like a life verse for me. Mm. It's interesting because I memorized that verse, shortly, you know, like when I was in high school, and 2 years later, when I was graduating high school, they, in your senior picture, they also want a quote. And I like struggled with, because I'm a big fan of quotes. I love them. And I was like, what should I pick? And how is that going to last maybe 40 years from now? Am I going to be happy with what I put in writing? And so I actually put down Proverbs 3:5-6 for my senior quote. And little did I know that, you know, while I could tell a lot of stories where that is true, probably the biggest thing is that like 29 years later after writing that, which would be like 10 years from this coming September, my husband had a stroke. And at first he was in the ICU. He was unresponsive. And while I was alone by the window reading my Bible and he was laying in bed there, I read Proverbs 16:33 that says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." And I just, it like leapt off the page, like God was talking to me. And I knew that that was part of God's sovereignty in our lives, and tears came to my eyes, you know, but I felt a peace about it, that whatever may be. And at this time, like, he hadn't woken up. We didn't know even if he was going to survive, and definitely didn't know what the outcome would be or what his needs would be. But knew that like everything would be changed forever for our family. Mm. So after rehab, he made it to rehab, but because it was such a severe stroke, they wanted to send him to a nursing home. Mm. And I went to visit the nursing home and I quizzed the nurse manager, and I felt that they were totally inept. And so I knew he wouldn't be safe there, and there were actually no other options. Mm. So I remember going to his bed at the rehab and just telling him, you know, you're going to come home. Like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but you can't go in there. So that was an example of me having to put 100% trust in God, not knowing how I was going to do it.
Right.
So there's a psalm that says, you know, you're a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I had, pardon me, 2 young kids, a full-time job, and basically the only income. And now, like, it was more important, not more important, but like at times when I wanted to stay like 24/7 at the bedside, I couldn't, because I had to also maintain this job. If I didn't maintain the job, I wouldn't maintain the insurance. Now the insurance for a healthy family was like of utmost importance. And so he was like bedbound and needed full-time care, and we didn't really have any resources for these new needs. So we just moved forward, trusting God one step at a time. And it was definitely not in my own understanding. And I like to plan things out, and there was like nothing that I could even say, you know, in the next month, like what his needs would be, how to plan. So I just had to trust God with it.
Wow. You know, we were talking just a minute ago about how hard it is to put things into words. Will you give it a shot? Can you try to tell me what was it? Like, what message did that verse give you in that moment?
Yeah. So, you know, when you study the Bible, you're always supposed to like try to put it in the context and not take it out of, and I actually don't, I'd have to read it to see if that even fits in the context. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that it jumped off the page.
What
to
was
me,
the thing it that it said to you? Like, what was the overall?
This is the lot in your lap. That's the thing that I remembered.
Okay.
And out of just even the whole verse, it's that, like, I just felt like God said, this is, you know, this is what I'm giving you.
This is what it is.
But but the thing is, it was tied to a feeling of peace.
Mm. Yeah. So, isn't that incredible?
And it was followed by really a long time of not knowing, like every day you didn't know. So like you just had to walk day by day. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't really plan ahead for a lot of things or know what was going to happen in the future. But it was just the piece of, like, we're all given something, right? Right. And acceptance of, I think that's what it is. It's like acceptance of where you are. Mm-hmm. I just felt like God was saying, yeah, this is something that is given to you, but I'm here with you to walk with you through it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was my lot. And yeah. His and my boys. And that gives me trust too, because it was never easy for them. And part of my hope and prayer is that God will use this to grow their faith and turn it around to, because they lost a lot, because there's a lot of grief that they don't have the father that can do the same, and a loss for my husband too, that he, you know, it's impacted their everybody's relationship because of like the deficits and that sort of thing. But I trust that God uses this lot that he's allowed to happen. I don't think he made it happen, but he has allowed it to happen, and that he can bring good from it.
Mm-hmm. He can bring good from it. He's been turning darkness to light since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And I think because all of us have this longing in our heart for things to be perfect, right? We all have a longing in our heart for no bad to happen, for no illness to strike, for no, frankly, just anything bad, right? Anything that feels uncomfortable or that isn't our perfect scenario. And so whenever it's not the way that we would, that would be perfect, it hurts and it feels so painful. And sometimes you can feel resentful or bitterness that it's happened to me and not to somebody else or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And I don't cast judgment on people going through these emotions by any means. I go through them all the time. Right. I think the thing is that we do have a longing for things to be right. We have a longing for illness to not strike. We have a longing for bad things to not happen. And I'm just so thankful that while we're in this broken place, while we're in this place where there are tears, there is pain, grief strikes, hard things happen, I'm just so thankful that God meets us in the middle of it and that he can bring a supernatural peace to you by your husband's hospital bed. Think about if you had gone through the exact same thing, but there was no God in the situation. There was no Bible verse jumping off the page that day. There was no overwhelming peace that God is with you and that God is walking with you through this. There was no supernatural provisions along the way. You see what I'm saying? Like,
and
what
that's
if,
what the whole world who doesn't know Jesus has to do. That's the only difference, really.
Right. Yeah. I just think, thank God that he meets us in the midst of our brokenness and our strife. And my heart aches as, for our human inclination to blame it on God. You know, it aches that we want to look at God and say that God is somehow like doing some sort of bad because of the fact that bad things happen. And it's like, no, bad things are going to happen anyway. Like, bad things are going to happen.
Right.
I'm just so thankful that God meets us and walks with us and comforts us and tends to us and carries our burdens for us and provides for us and delivers us from all of these things. It's not yet perfect. He will make it perfect one day.
Right.
He will restore all things, and there will be no pain and no tears and no hardship and no sickness. Praise God. But it just hasn't happened yet. And so that's our hope, our future hope, and our current hope is that he resides with us while we go through all the stuff. Okay. So, wow. Well, I know that I'm sure you've had a lot of life lived before and after that one particular experience. And is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners about relationship with God and just kind of what it's like for you to maintain this relationship with God over the years that clearly kind of fortified you? It was a foundation for you. leading up to this particular event that you've just shared with us?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, if the person listening is a believer, I would say slow down and make your priority God. You know, always turn something you read or study into a way to like live differently and to apply it. Just look for what God reveals truth to us so that we can live differently. And to be bold, to like stop holding on to the old you, so that when you let your grip go of those things, then you're opening your hand to receive what God has for you. And I say that because I am a believer and I've been a believer all these years, but it's like a constant that you have to do to continue to, like, that whole idea of the fish being caught, like God's still cleaning me off and helping me to renew my mind and things. For someone who doesn't have a relationship with God, then the Bible tells us that they're not a child of God, which is kind of harsh to hear, but the Bible really creates a clear divide that, you know, we're either a children of the Father or a children of Satan, and it's the single most important decision that you can make. So nothing else in your life will matter. If eternity is spent in eternal pain and separation versus living in harmony in a perfected community with God, it's a decision that should be made today, because you don't know that there'll be a tomorrow. And on like my health goals and stuff, I focus on what I do today. Will it impact me tomorrow? Because 6 months from today will be the result of 6 months of excuses or 6 months of progress. So each day, you know, take some time to spend with Jesus, even if you don't know him. Have a coffee date with Jesus for 10 minutes. Talk, write your thoughts, your questions. Keep your eyes open and ears open with an expectant heart that Jesus will meet you where you are and answer you. You know, it never hurts to have a conversation when that you're like also stopping and listening through what you're reading by hearing, and to have conversations with people that might know, like pastors or Bible studies, being open to that. You're not you know, committing to anything, but you're just being curious to learn about God and see if you can hear God answer you. So I would say, just, you know, for whether you're the believer or not the believer, keep on searching for God. Keep mm-hmm. on asking for him to talk to you and to have those things leap off the page. You know, it's only like in the future where you can kind of look back and maybe put more context around it. But if you search for God, he says, you know, he will be found. And recently I would say also the biggest thing is focus more on who God is versus who you want God to be for you. You know, that's, I think, the ultimate key. And that's where the big gap is, you know, but you'll never see your own identity if you can't really see who God is mm-hmm. for who he is. And recently I just learned in reading something the other day that the Greek word soteria is the same Greek word in the Bible when someone, like if it said in the Bible that Jesus healed somebody, and then when it says the person was saved by Jesus, it's the same word. And that word also in Latin is where we get our salvation from. And it also means salve, like an ointment for a wound. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just, until the end, your end, whenever that is, or until the end of time when Jesus returns, I love this idea that the word salvation is tied to healing. And mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a wound that needs to be healed and doesn't have the ultimate wound of being separated from God. And, you know, whether you wear a cross around your neck, it's like it doesn't matter what you're wearing or what you look like. If you have a relationship with God, only God knows. And when he returns, we'll be able to say, I knew him or her. They believed in me. That it's not just a relationship with God the Father. The only way to a relationship with God the Father is through the Son he sent, through Christ. And the only way that you get the peace that you can have from life's challenges is through the Holy Spirit that he gives you as soon, like for me, it was November 19th mm-hmm. and it was by the water there. And he'll just carry you through and grow and mature you. But you can go by life if you don't make a like a intentional time to spend with God.
Mm-hmm.
And like I always make sure that the first 21 minutes of my day is reading and expecting an assignment from God, you know, that and being prepared for whatever comes off that page that I'm reading that I've just learned so that I could share it with somebody else mm-hmm. and have a better impact.
Yeah. I love that you said the next 6 months can be 6 months of, hold on, don't tell me, 6 months of excuses or 6 months of progress.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to quote that somewhere in my life.
I'll send you, I have this little picture with that really? On there. And it's like, yeah, it's so powerful. I mean, it's hard for anybody to think about the future, which is probably why people put off even making a decision for Christ, right?
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why suffering is so powerful, because it shows you all the stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It makes you think about what does matter. And if you are like, I don't remember the quote exactly about like, there are no atheists in foxholes, right? Like the more that you strip away the things that distract you or entertain you in life, and you can just, it comes down to, you know, you and God. But if you're ignoring those things or you're doing other things that don't matter, you're not looking at 6 months down the line, but it 6 months later, it always shows where you've been,
right?
Or what you haven't or have been doing.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I love that. I think I'll keep that with me after today. So thank you for that. Well, Noreen, this has been so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your experiences, as well as your words of wisdom. As I mentioned, I could tell from the first time I met you that they come from a deep place. And I am so thankful that we're able to share that with those who are listening today. So thank you so much for being here.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that you're doing this, because everybody does have a different story. And if you didn't give a platform for it to be shared, then people won't know that everybody has a different story, but only one God.
That's right. Amen to that. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.